A long time. Two major things have happened since I last came. My hair have turned white. And just like the young man who so wisely says that gray hair have nothing to do with wisdom. Which one of you is David? David, will you stand? I have a question for you. Yes, this is another surprise. I just have a question. Tell me the truth. How much do you pay that young man to say this? I know it's always true. The second thing that has happened is that your church has air conditioning. The last time I came, you didn't. And I want you to know that I am the one that caused you to enjoy this air conditioning. Because the last time I came, you know, during those days when you come to this church to speak, you must wear a tie. And there was no air conditioning. And I remember that day I came, I was having a fever, and I was wearing a white shirt with this tie. It was hot and it was really stuffy. And in the middle of the service, my fever broke and sweat was pouring down my body. I was soaked to the bone. Pastor Prem Kumar saw it. And after service, he says, "Titi, I promise you, the next time you come, we will have air conditioning." But today, I share your loss. Some of you have lost loved one. Pastor, you lost your mom. You lose a friend. It's tough. But you see, as Christian, you and I don't live for the now. We live for the eternity. And we begin to understand that really dying is very much part of living. In fact, if you will look around, apart from the little one, in another 60 years, you and I would not be around here. You realize that? Look around. In another 60 years, apart from the little one, there is nobody that is sitting in this room that will still be alive. And time goes by so fast. You know, day before yesterday, I was 20 years old. Yesterday, I was 40. And today, I'm 70. How many of you realize how fast it is? You know, the key thing is this. It is not about how we die or when we die. It is more about how we live this life that God has given us. You know, you sang a song that was so powerful. I have not heard it for the last 10, 15 years. And that song simply says, "Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control." Do you mean what you see, you sing? Or is that some word that we mouth on a Sunday? "Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control." And when we do that, then life and death is not an issue with us. As Paul declared that, hey, to live is Christ, to die is gain. When we have reached a stage where we can look at God and say, "Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control." But there was another line that we sang that was really, really very important. It says, "I have made a choice." To what? Hello? I forget. This is the Baptist church. Are you allowed to talk back to the speaker? You are allowed to in the Baptist church? You all right? Okay. You know, "I have made a choice to listen to your voice." You know, my fear is this. My fear is that as I begin to travel and go to different churches, that we have all gave up the privilege of hearing God. You know, the fear is not dying. The fear for me, or the concern for me, is as I go from churches to churches, I see people who have given up that right to hear from God and to begin to inquire about from God about what is your plan for my life. You know, for every one of us, not just for the pastor, not just for missionary like me, for every one of us, God has a plan of our life. But you know, so many Christians have resigned to the fact that we will just wait for heaven. So we come to church every Sunday. What do? We sing a few songs. We drop a few coins. We hear a few words. And if we are really friendly, we shake a few hands. And then we walk out of this door the same as we walk in. Never been impacted, never really understanding what the call of God is for our life. We give up that privilege. The sad thing is not because people die. The sad thing is how we live. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. I have made a choice. I'll listen to your wife's voice. You know, we need to realize this as a church. Time is getting shorter. And we need to begin to explore. You know, I'm not just talking of those people who are just sitting in church and don't do anything. I'm talking about those people who are in ministry. You could be singing, you could be in church leader, you could be a pastor, you could be a missionary like me, and still forget to ask God and seek God as to His new direction for you. We could be in this place where we are so comfortable that... So this morning, when do we... What time do you finish your service? 12, okay. A.M. or P.M.? I want to take us to the Bible, and let's look at the life of somebody that I think is the most successful person in the Bible. One who completely and absolutely fulfilled the call of God in his life. He is not someone that you would have heard of, because, you know, all my years in ministry, I have not heard one sermon preached on this guy. In fact, if you read the Bible has no record of a single word he's spoken. He has no absolute speaking part in the Bible. He is not listed among the hero of faith in Hebrews 11. You don't see his name mentioned together with all the great apostles, but he is one of the guy that I think have the most satisfaction in fulfilling the call of God upon his life. His name is Joseph. No. I'm not talking about the Joseph that wore this Yves Saint Laurent jacket with multi-colored. No. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about that little Nazarene carpenter who couldn't afford a room when his wife was giving birth. That I'm talking about the guy who have to see his son being born amidst all the waste and the filth of a stable. I'm talking about that Joseph. You know, have you ever thought how fulfilled that man must have been? You see, you and I have, at some time or another, felt the arms of God around us, haven't we? You're not talking to me. I said, you and I have, some time or other, have felt the arms of God around us, haven't we? But you know, he's the only man I know that have his arm around God. Think about that. God trusts this man with the only son that he ever had. What a privilege. And there's so much we can learn from this man. Let's go to the Bible. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 1 quickly. You don't have to turn to your Bible. Let me read from you for you so that we are on the same page. Matthew chapter 1, starting from verse 18, it says this. Now, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now listen. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. You know, these few verses speaks volume about Joseph. Joseph never spoke a word. But his action, we could learn so much from him. First thing, the Bible calls him a just man. You understand that? What is a just man? You see, in our understanding, when we talk about the word just, we think he is a fair man. No. When the Bible mentioned just, it was just more than fair. Joseph was a righteous man. And you can only be righteous if you know God. Because the only standard that will make you righteous is God's standard. And Bible says, Joseph was a just man. First thing, if you and I were to fulfill the call of God in our life, the first thing we got to learn from Joseph is that Joseph knew God. He knew his God. And let me explain to you why I say that. How many of you come from a small town? Which town are you from, brother? Oh, that's small. I come from a small town called Kanga, Paris. Have you heard of that? It's so small, if you drive, you blink your eyes, you pass the main street. And you know, one thing I learned about small towns is that in a small town, everybody knows everybody, right? But that's not the problem. The problem is a small town is that everybody knows everything about everybody. Now, you've got to remember, Mary and Joseph come from a small town. Everybody knows everything about everybody. Everybody knows that Joseph has this love for Mary for years. And they have been engaged to be married. If you understand the Jewish tradition of getting married, it is not a 6 months or a 3 months affair. It is a 2 years affair where they have the courtship, they have the proposal, they have the dowry, they have, you know, it's the whole city knows that Joseph loved Mary and that they're going to get married. And it was at a stage where the dowry has been paid. The wedding dress has already been chosen. The venue has already been decided. The food has already been tasted. The wedding guest lists have been fought over. Everything was ready. And then in the midst of this, Mary looked at Joseph and says, Joseph, I have good news and I have bad news. And Joseph says, what's the good news? He says, I'm still marrying you. So what is the bad news? I'm pregnant. How would you react? You look like a righteous person. How would you react? You see, that's why he's so righteous. I asked him, how is he going to react? He just sit there and smile. I know how I'm going to react. I want to know who he is. I'm going to kill him. Wouldn't you? Yeah. You are just more honest. That will be the first thing. The second thing I'll do is, you can remember it's a small town. when it's a small town, it's very important for you to preserve your reputation. You know, all of us Asian, we know, safe face, number one. Our skin are very thin. So we got a safe face. So if I were Joseph, the first thing I would do is I would go around the whole city and tell people that I am the victim. You see how I love her. I did everything for her. I sell this for her. I do this. You know, And look what she has done to me. Poor me, I'm the victim. And that will save my reputation. And you don't look at me as if I'm wicked. Because if you were like me, like Joseph, well, if you were like me, you would do exactly what I was saying. Wouldn't you? Hello? Man? But you know what Joseph did? He decided to break the engagement quietly. That means he was prepared to surrender all this dowry that he has been given to the family. He says, don't worry about it. And we just keep it quiet so that we will save the reputation of Mary. You see, that man knew God. You know why? Because he understood. He loved Mary. And he understood that the highest expression of love is forgiveness. Hello? Lady, look at your wedding finger. Come on. Look at your wedding finger. The highest expression of love is not that diamond that he bought for you, that you have to wear sunglasses to look at it. It is not that. It is not even that honeymoon that he takes you to Paris and wine you and dine you. It's not that. The highest expression of love is forgiveness. And Joseph, because he knew God, he knew that. And he decided that because he's the just man, he will break the engagement quietly. You see, you and I, if we are to go to fulfill the call of God upon our life, the first thing we must do is we must know our God. And there's only one way to know our God, and that's to go back to the Bible. You understand what I'm saying, church? Let me show you the second thing that we can learn from Joseph. Maybe let me read a few verses to you, and then you tell me what is it. Verse 20 from chapter 1, it says, and as he considered this, he fell asleep. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel says, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary. That's the first verse. The second verse I want to read to you is from really chapter 2, verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and the mother, the angel says. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to try to kill the child. Then finally, verse 19. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in the dream to Joseph in Egypt and told him, get up and take the child and mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead. From these three verses, someone tell me, what is the thing that we can learn from Joseph? Sorry. You have seen people drinking water before, haven't you? He listened to God's voice. First thing we need to know God. The second thing is that we need to hear God. And this is the time, that this is the thing that I want to emphasize on, is that many of us have given up that right, the privilege that God has given us to hear Him. We have no. Why? First reason we have given up that right is because all of us are time poor. We have our career. We have our work. We have our business. We have our family. We have our children. We got our parents. We have our in-laws. We have our outlaws. We are busy people. And when I look at the young people, what do you have? You have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have girlfriend. Yeah. You. What else do you have now? Sports, school, WeChat. We are all busy people. And when we are busy, you know, the easiest person to steal time from is God. Hello, church. Don't look on the floor. There's nothing there. Look at me. When we are time poor, the easiest person to steal time from is God. That's the first reason. The second reason, let me tell you what I think it is. Many of us choose not to hear Him because we're too comfortable. We really don't want to get out of our comfort zone. Because there's always the danger that when you hear God, that He will deal with that. You see, the truth is this. You can't move on with God staying where you are. It is not possible. You know, I just sometimes blow my mind what Christians pray. How many of you have prayed, God, use me? Tell the truth. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm in Asia. In Asia, you got to ask the question differently. How many of you have not prayed the prayer that God use me? Okay, so everybody has. And what we do is that we didn't finish our prayer. What we are saying is, God use me. But you know, God, I stay in Penang. I'm comfortable. I like my house. I like my car. I like my family. I like my char kway teow. I like my laksa. You know, Hokkien mee. You know, but God, if you don't have to change all this thing and you can use me, that'll be good. That is our prayer. And we are always so fearful that if we hear God, that God will get out of our comfort zone. No, I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about me. You see, I was a businessman before God called me full-time. And I remember when God first called me to be a pastor, I freak out. I freak out. Because, you see, as a businessman, I enjoy my business class flight. 5-star hotel. I like my Yves Saint Laurent shoes. I like my Gucci tie. And I know pastors are poor, and I don't want to be poor. You understand? You know, sometimes when you hear God, He will take you out of your comfort zone. And for many of us, He'll be a lot easier if we don't hear Him, so that we can continue to come to church, sing a few songs, drop a few coins, hear a few words, shake a few hands. It's not that we don't love God. It's not that we're not committed to church. And then we come next week. What do we do? What do you do? We sing a few songs, drop a few coins, hear a few words, and shake a few hands, and we think we are doing God a favor. You know, that is the frightening thing, because we want. I know some of you are looking at me and say, "I don't have a comfort zone." Well, let me ask you, where are you sitting? Where do you sit last week? Where do you sit the week after? Before that? Same place. That's the third thing. Why sometimes we don't want to hear from God. And that's because some of us are afraid of giving. We're afraid, you know, we seem to have this concept that, you know, the more money we make and the more successful we are, the more we got to watch out for God, because eventually He's going to notice that we got money and He's going to come after us. I don't know where we learned that. I really don't know. You know, I like I say, you know, I'm talking about me. You know, nowadays I come to church, I try to bring as little money as I can. Because just in case the pastor preach a convicting message and I got to give all, so... You got credit card? that is after the church. Oh, we are afraid to give. You know, it was, I know you have heard this before. One day a pastor was preaching about giving and he was telling the church, give until it hurts. One guy stand up and say, Pastor, every time I give, it hurts. And sometimes we won't hear God because we are afraid of giving. But our God is not that type of God. Every cent you got, He gave it to you. Why is He? You think He's that evil little thing? He says, look at that guy. I'm going to get him. Take his Mercedes, man. No. So we don't hear God because, number one, time poor. Number two, we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. Number three, we are frightened of giving. But there's one more thing. One more thing. First thing, we got to know God. Second, we got to hear God. There's the third thing. Third thing that we learn from Joseph. Let me quickly. Chapter 1, verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. Chapter 2, verse 14. That night, Joseph left Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. The last verse, verse 21. So Joseph returned immediately to Israel with Jesus and his mother. What do we learn there? What do we learn there? What do we learn? Obedient. You see, he not only know God, he not only hear God, he obeys God. And there lies some of our issue also. Some of us would like to hear God. You know, sometimes when we have prophet that comes to this to the church, you know, the church is full because everybody is waiting for the prophet to give them a word. Ooh, thus saith the Lord. And we want to hear the word, not because we want to do what God tells us to do. We want to hear so that we can consider. Hello? You're not laughing at me. We want to hear because we want to consider. And we need to hear so that we obey. And the Bible says, he obeyed immediately. You know, sometimes I wonder how much heartache and how much pain we have inflicted on ourselves because we do not take time to hear God. I wonder how much of the circumstances that we are in, that we are struggling with, is because we don't stop to hear God. I wonder. But you know, sometimes, hearing God can be inconvenient. You hear me? Sometimes, hearing God can be very, very inconvenient. Let me tell you a story. It was my last trip to Penang. And it was on a Monday. Now, in Penang, I don't know in other states, in Penang, what is a Monday? Monday is the pastor's day off. Most pastor takes Monday off. I know this pastor doesn't. He never stopped working. But most pastors take Monday off. And because we have to deal a lot with pastors, both my wife and I decided that we would take Monday off. Right? So it was a Monday. What does pastor do on a Monday? They meet. When pastor meet, what do? You think they pray. Well, tell me, tell you the truth. We eat. So I heard of this nasi kandar store somewhere near the hospital, Tan Yew Lai Hospital. So I had an appointment with this pastor and we went to eat, to have nasi kandar. I was waiting for him. I could smell the aroma of the curry. My stomach was growling, my saliva was running, and I was looking around waiting for this pastor and his wife to show up. And in walked this guy, who is about 57 years old. I've seen him a couple of times in his church, but I have not seen him for about most probably 5 to 7 years. And he, as he walks in, you know, his chin touched the floor. His face was as long as a papaya. And if you measure it with the bata size shoes, it will be size 14. And he was just completely downtrodden. And I recognized him. So I called up to him and said, "Hey, brother, what's going on?" And he came over and he sat down. And tears was almost running in his eyes. And he says, This is a 57-year-old man, okay? I said, "Brother, what's going on?" He said, "Pastor, I just ran away from home." I said, "Huh? Go chap chido, you run away from home?" "Oh." And I said, "Why do you run away from home?" He says, "My wife and my daughter beat me." I told him, "Oh, yeah, bro. True or not? Your wife and your daughter beat you?" He said, "Pastor, I don't lie one. See?" And he lift up his t-shirt and he was blue black all over. And I look at it. You gotta remember this is Monday, right? And what is Monday? What is Monday? Monday is my day off. Then I asked him, "Why does your wife and your daughter beat you?" "They think I have another woman." I said, "Ubo, you know I can get fierce when I want to. Ubo, you're so bola, Pastor Bola." And I was thinking, God, it is a Monday. It's my day off. This is not even my sheep. And I'm smelling nasi kandar. And I knew God wanted me to minister to him, but it is so inconvenient. You see, when you hear God, sometimes it's very inconvenient. You know, I must make a confession. As soon as the other pastor come, I was happy. Because you know why? Because when the other pastor come, this guy will stop talking because he don't know the other pastor. And I'm free. And immediately I see the pastor, I look at the pastor and say, "Hey, you could remember or not, immediately after this, we got a coffee appointment with another pastor." What am I telling this guy? Come on. I know most of you are as devious as me, so don't pretend. What am I telling this guy? I'm telling guy that I'm busy lah today. You know, he got the message. He ate his lunch, and he said goodbye and he left. You know, brother, that day, it was the worst nasi kandar I ever tasted. My coffee tastes like poison. Because I knew God had spoken to me, but it was too inconvenient. It was a Monday. How many of you, tell the truth, have that happened to you? 1, 2. You are the only unholy one. The rest, I could see the halo, you know. Hearing God sometimes is inconvenient. But let me close by telling you this. Not hearing Him could mean death. Sometimes hearing God is the difference between life and death. In 1994-93, after being a pastor for a few years, God called us to be a missionary. You know how frightening this is for a businessman? It is bad enough that God called me to be a pastor, because pastors are poor. I don't like to be poor. And when God called me to a missionary, I have even a bigger struggle, because how many of you know missionary are poorer than pastor? Hello? I had a big struggle. I was comfortable in Australia. Australia paid the pastors quite well. Praise God. We should learn from them. And God called us to be a missionary. But I praise God that we heard His calling. And because we had to be a missionary, we thought, okay, if you're going to go to the field, the first thing we're going to do is do a physical checkup. So my wife and I went for a physical checkup. We booked all our ticket, everything all set, but we went for a checkup.
The doctor looked at us, do a few tests. Said, don't worry, go, just go. Just go. Don't worry. You're all right. So we prepared to go. 3 days before we left, I just felt in my spirit that, yeah, maybe I should just call up the doctor and confirm. So I call up the doctor, who's a friend of mine. I says, so what is going on? He says, yeah, go lah, don't worry lah. It's easy for him to say, don't worry, because he is not the one going. Isn't it? So I said, but what happened to the result? Don't worry at the result, I just go. So I put out my phone and we were ready to go. 10 minutes later, I got a call from the doctor. I pick up the phone and I knew something drastic was wrong. Because he just, for 5 minutes, he just hold on and he just TT. And it was complete silence. He says, I really don't know how to tell you this. But the test shows that Modrine has cancer. And immediately we have to operate on her. My world fall apart. Completely fall apart. This lady that I cherish and love so much, on the eve of us leaving to serve God, was diagnosed with cancer that needs immediate operation. We had to cancel the trip. 2 days later, she was on the operating theater. The doctor says, for 6 months, you're not to do anything. But tell you how tough this lady is, within 3 weeks, we are off on the plane to our mission field. You know why I'm telling you this? You see, we were so blessed that God spoke to us. Because He spoke to us, we went and do the medical checkup. And the cancer was caught early. If we had not listened and we had not obeyed, the chances are it'll be 5 years before we go do any checkup, and this lady would not have been with me today. You understand what I'm saying? Hello? Listening to God sometimes could mean life and death. I just want to come and just challenge you today. That let's all learn from Joseph. The reason why his life is as fulfilling as he is, because Jesus promises that. He says, I come that you might have life, and life in His fullness. Not waiting just go to heaven. Life in His fullness. But if we choose to have God fulfill His call upon our life like Joseph, first, we got to know God. Second, we got to hear God. And third, we got to obey God. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we thank you for today. You show us how precious life is. And yet, as precious as it is, it's such a fleeting thing that we are here today and gone tomorrow. But yet, in between, Father God, there's such an opportunity for us to use our life to impact the kingdom of God. Father, I pray for all of us here, myself included, that each day you will cause us to know you more, to hear you a little bit clearer, and to obey you a little bit faster. Plant that in our heart. That as we walk out of this sanctuary today, and when we return next week, it is more than just to come sing a few songs, hear a few words, drop a few coins and shake a few hands. But you will bring us, all of us, closer to our destiny, that your name may be glorified. I pray this for the whole church, and I do it in the name of Jesus. Amen.